Welcome to another episode of This Silly with the Lilligans, brought to you by Your Electric. I always forget to pimp Mark out. We need to do that more often. Your Electric. Electrical needs, call him.
I'm thinking about breaking something just so I can call him.
You should. Yeah. Just not here, please.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I won't do that then.
That's Brad. Bird is on the couch.
Hello.
And we have guests today.
We do. We got MLS players.
Well, technically.
Not technically. They're MLS players.
They are.
They are under contract to the single entity that is MLS.
I'm going to drink a beer while you explain that.
No. One returning guest, returning champion, Patrick Duty.
Hello. Thanks for having me back.
And a new guest, Drew Connor.
How's it going?
Wait, is it Connor Drew or Drew Connor?
Drew Connor.
Okay, I get that confused in my head.
I'm sure it's not the first time he's heard that, too.
Yeah, okay. Both of our guests are joining us via loan from the Chicago Fire, but I'm just going to consider them St. Louis FC players.
They're ours.
Well, they have. They're our players.
Yep. Even when they were up there. Well, Pat was. Didn't know you yet, so it doesn't quite count.
It's weird because Patrick has a pager on. At any moment, he could get called and have to fly back to Chicago.
God, that would be awesome if it was actually a pager, like one of the old Motorola.
Well, they're not one of the money clubs. Sorry, guys.
It's a Nextel push-to-talk phone.
I think it's actually a magic conch that they just blow into.
Patrick jumps up. I gotta go.
Well, we know they don't do smoke signals.
Oh. Yeah. Oh.
Okay, we're not going to talk about that.
So we actually followed the team down to Oklahoma this past weekend.
Well, yeah, last time we spoke on the podcast was right after the...
LA Galaxy game.
No. Was it the Galaxy game?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we were kind of worried.
Yeah.
We were...
But then we had an Orange County game, and that went well.
Well, I said, you know, I want to see the reaction. I want to see... Because the last time we lost in that fashion last year against Montreal, we lost 5-2. The next game, we scrapped and battled and fought and beat Toronto away. Yeah. So, you know, I wanted to see a reaction, and we got it. And that was Drew Connor's first start for the club. And, you know, I actually tweeted, he looks pretty efficient.
I appreciate that.
Is that what you go for, efficiency?
Hey, I mean, I'm just working hard right now, man.
No, it was good to see you out there. And, Patrick, for those that are joining us for – the first time this year, Patrick's an old favorite. He played several games with us in St. Louis last year.
You see this as you have your Duty Crew shirt.
I am wearing my Duty Crew shirt.
It looks great, by the way.
You know, they'll have to change it this year because they're joining us in Section 9 and 10, I think, this year.
Oh, good.
They moved over to the corner, but they still will be supporting Patrick Duty.
Good.
So, guys, what's...
No, you can't have a crew.
You have to earn a crew. You don't just get a crew. You have to earn a crew. Patrick stepped in last year, made a huge contribution early on.
Actually, I don't think so. I think he had a crew before. Quiet.
I told you guys, I just want the dog. I just want the Duty dog to be named Drew.
Drew's obsessed with the Duty Crew dog.
Well, we'll work on that.
Yeah.
Okay, I can't help it. So you want to be the bitch? I was really fighting it.
I would be honored to be a part of the Duty Crew.
He knows his role, this rookie, right?
I know.
Patrick got him trained well.
He does a good job.
Yeah. Now, did you make him drive?
I did.
Nice.
God, he trained well.
Yeah. Especially, I mean, I drove to lunch, and I go, Pat, are you driving to this podcast? He goes, I think you should.
That's awesome. I'm so proud of you.
It felt like a Drew day driving, so thank you.
And after Patrick joined us last season, he also moved back up to Chicago, and you started 6 games at the end of the season.
I did.
So that was nice. I mean, it was nice for us. I imagine it was nice for you, too.
Yeah, I went back in July.
The first game was against the Sounders, right?
It was, yeah, in July, and then I got 3 games there, which was great, and I thought then, you know, I might just stay up there for the rest of the year. I ended up coming back down. Pretty much finished the year here. I think I missed our last 2 games.
They called you up a couple
right before,
times. Yeah.
I was back and forth there a lot towards the end, and then, you know, I finished the year playing in a few games too, so I think it went pretty well in terms of my first year.
I think it worked out well for Chicago, too, because I would never watch a Chicago Fire game. And I ended up watching the rest of that season because there was a chance my man could play.
It was the game on ESPN against the Crew.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, not to mention those games you played in, we did really well in, too.
Well, sure. I like to think he had something to do with that.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on, hold on. You don't say we when you're in St. Louis.
That's is in this, the past. Are you guys just going to rip on me this whole time, or how is this going
to
work out?
No, you need to understand your place.
A little bit.
I will say, though, my favorite moment of you with the fire was, I think you were playing Orlando. I don't know what it was for, but I saw a banner hung that said, "You may have caca, but we have duty."
I love
and,
that.
You know, for that moment alone, you know, that goes in the memory banks.
Because, again, he's never heard a poop joke.
No,
never.
Sure not.
Ever. No, never.
Never.
But the dual banner poop joke, that was pretty nice.
Oh. Especially with Kaká. That was.
Did you mark him up at all? So
a true honor.
So then it would have really been the
you guys really should have swapped shirts.
I thought that maybe it was going to lead to that. Yeah. But he had no idea who I was, so just kept it.
He'll know.
Yeah.
Before his career is over, he'll know.
You just need him to keep playing.
All right. So anyway, so we did go to Orange County.
We did well in Orange County. We won, what was the final score?
3-1.
3-1.
That was huge.
And then
it was a great game, because I thought the pressure was on, and they rose up to it. And, you know, in Orange County, you're no mugs. I mean, they were the regular season winners of the West last year.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, to be fair, I was kind of expecting the worst.
Yeah.
And then after the penalty save, the penalty save, I was like,
massive.
We've got the momentum here. You know, let's finish him.
Changed everything.
Dropped that really in. Ryan Thompson was back from Jamaican national team duty.
Mm-hmm.
He played a great game, saved a penalty, and then unfortunately tweaked a hamstring.
And I don't think it was a penalty either, to be fair.
No, I didn't think so either.
Oh, the call? No, yeah. I don't think so either.
No, but a huge save. I mean, and it was weird, too, because we're standing in the bar. And after it happened, a couple of us got to talking. It's like, you know what? We kind of felt like he was going to save it. Like,
yeah, I did.
That was the same feeling I had.
Really?
I was telling all the guys around the 18 to line up. Because, you know, everyone kind of had their head down. And I looked at AJ and I was like, dude, I think he's going to save this. Like, get the nearest spots. Let's let's get this rebound.
I don't know. It was just weird because, like, he's standing there on the line and doing the, you know, the goalie prep or whatever. You're waving arms, bouncing. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, shit, he's got the read on this. Like, you could just see he just locked in, and it was, and it was, okay, this game has now changed. This is our game to lose. You know, it was really, the momentum was completely behind us at that point until the hamstring.
Yeah.
Yeah, the poor hamstring.
Yeah, that happens.
That was a nice play by him, too.
Yes. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He's not shy about coming off his line, is he?
No.
He's a monster.
Well, yeah, that doesn't help. It doesn't hurt when you're a beast.
Yeah,
I mean,
he
is
an actual
dude.
Yeah, he's
the
he's enormous.
First time we met him, it was one of the player events, and you see him online or whatever, but he, like, walked back and you're like, that's a big man.
Yeah.
You know,
he's a tank.
Yeah, and his shoulders are, like, 4 feet wide, and his waist is,
yeah,
like,
just
an
big
inch.
Man, yeah.
So
yeah.
It's like, you know, it's just like, oh, yeah, that's somebody I want blocking out there.
Yeah.
Luckily for us, though, we have Mark Pace.
No
backup
slouch. No slouch.
Didn't really lose anything when he came in. I mean, you know, it's hard, always hard.
Came in on a corner kick, too.
Yeah.
And that guy, that's for hard. OC Blues, probably is one of the best, you know, free kick services in the league.
That was their left back, right?
Yeah. That thing was, but he had the assist on their goal.
Hard for a goalie to come in, mm-hmm. especially on a corner kick. Thompson, thankfully, limped as slow as he could off the side.
Dude, like,
you see Jones and Pace in the back throwing balls at each other.
Yeah, Mark got a full warm up.
Yeah.
Well, it does help, too, when you've got Jones to warm you up, too. It's not like, you know, it's a low-tier goalie coach.
No, he's throwing him at his head, screaming at him.
You're getting the full warm-up before you get in.
Yeah.
We should also say that was the big breakout game for our new player, Vince Cicerelli. Mm-hmm. Got USL Player of the Week honors for that play.
Good God,
for that game.
Good God.
I mean, and it was funny, too, because whenever a new guy comes in, you never know what to expect, especially if, you know, a rookie, even more so, because it's like, well.
We really haven't seen him play. I mean, a few minutes here, a few minutes there.
Right, and then all of a sudden it's just kind of like just that, screaming right out the gate, and it's like, holy shit, he's got it.
And he kept pushing him. I mean, which, you know, followed up in Oklahoma, you know, he started the game, and right from the beginning you could see he was going to keep pushing him all game long and didn't run out of gas. I mean,
yeah, he seems got to get a motor that's
just, he's a horse.
Yeah,
and he does. That's the thing. He doesn't stop running. Most guys up there, they'll kind of pick and choose.
Yeah, oh,
he
yeah.
just goes,
which is surprising because Vince is a pretty big dude.
Yes, yeah. that was yeah. the
and
other.
You, and being a lone striker like that is not easy. Well, with cutting the line and everything yeah. and trying to force it to one side.
Well, and you expect him to take some plays off.
Exactly.
And, you know, but he's walking. Every time he's it's, right yeah. there.
It's
you know?
It's like, you know, usually you'll see a striker just kind of walk back yeah. to the center line, and it's like, no, he's running to cut down the angle.
Yeah.
And it was like,
he's defending. I mean, he's every time he doesn't have the ball, he's defending yeah. in some sort of fashion.
He's not Berbatov.
No. and he keeps the pace, too. Mm-hmm. It's not like you see him dwindle off. It's like, nope, got to go full bore.
Yeah. And he, I mean, he uses his body really well.
This is a big chance. I mean, Irvin's injured. I mean,
and he made the most of it, another goal in Oklahoma.
Correct. Yeah. So. You know, at the beginning of the season, you'd think it'd be like 3 or 4, you know, with him and Jordan pushing for the third striker spot behind Herrera and Lynch. And here he is. He's, you know, and he's on fire and he's virtually kind of undroppable right now.
Oh, absolutely. And like you said, he's a big dude. So, you know, 50-50 balls, we've got a chance at every single one.
Especially in this league. I mean, with how physical it can be, he's bodying up with these center backs and, you know, having that option up there to, you know, ping balls into his chest. It's really nice to have.
Yeah. Well, that was one of the things we were talking about on the bus ride home, was that we got bigger this year, like considerably.
Totally.
Needed to.
And again, it's not a slight against what we had last year. It's just the league is such a big, powerful league that
Matt, I mean, you tell stories about how you would do the radio show before the game.
Yeah.
And you'd watch both teams walk out, and there was a considerable difference in our heights out there.
I saw it a lot.
Yeah, and there's some banging bodies too. I mean, yeah. we saw Sam pick up a nice little yellow and for dropping a nice little Barkley player hip check on him. But I mean, you don't get a soft touch. I mean, they're throwing shoulders, they're throwing bones.
Well, you went into the concrete wall. I think that was the ball girl. Yeah. I think that was the ball girl that took you out.
The real, yeah, she just Real Salt Lake came. She's just looking at me, and then she takes out her phone. She starts taking pictures of me. I'm like, what the hell is going on right now?
That was the first game of the season.
If anybody knows that ball girl, anyone in the league listening,
I need
can
that
get
picture.
Us that photograph.
It was ridiculous.
Oh, my God.
But that watch party was packed at ITAP, and nobody could move. And, I mean, we're all geeked up for the new season. And I saw you go sliding into the wall, and I pulled out my phone, and Eric goes, texting Jeremy? I said, yeah. I said, is Patrick okay? And he said, I think so. And then it was like a few minutes later, he goes, I think he's fine.
Yeah. So, it was.
That was scary looking on TV.
That was like Reggie Bush style.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
I mean,
exactly.
It was like he's not slowing down and there's a wall.
Oh, my foot bent completely backwards. It was.
But going back to the Real Monarchs game, the way we lost it in the last kick of the game, how was morale at that point?
I mean, you know, that was a game that we, you know, we really felt really good about, literally until the end.
Yeah.
Because I don't know, I'm sure you guys know, but I think like 5 guys from that game were playing in the weekend's game for you know, the first team. So that was a really talented team that we played. First game of the year in the altitude. I mean, I don't care what you say. If you're not used to it, it makes a difference. And we played solid, and it just, that's what made it so crushing. And then to know that we had then a Wednesday game against LA too, which
one of the best teams in the league.
I mean, no question. Who also had a lot of MLS guys in the lineup. That hurt, but there wasn't really time to feel bad about it. And there were positives to take away.
We've all seen those games, like Real, whatever league you follow. It's like, I think we can win this one, and then you get to a certain point, and you're just like, okay, just hang on, get the point, get out of there, and then that ball went in. It was just like, fuck.
Yeah. You know what I mean? That sucked.
We were so close to taking a point, you know. But you bounced back. I mean, the LA game was kind of flukish, I think. I mean, a couple of weird goals before the half. Ugh. And they are one of the best teams in the league.
They're good.
I mean, so,
yeah.
Well, we were talking about it earlier. The four teams that we've played against are damn good teams. You've got the Western Conference champions,
the regular season champions, and the Western Conference runners-up. Plus, the Monarchs won their last 5 games of the last season.
They started slow last year, but they finished one of the toughest teams that nobody wanted to play out west towards the end of the season.
And right? All on the road.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I don't know a team in the league that had to that for their first four games of the season.
So you're going up against top teams on the road, first four, not even a home game to break it up.
Yeah.
That is a tough stretch.
Mm-hmm.
So you played in the Eastern Conference last year, Patrick. What, is there any difference to the conferences? Or?
I don't know. I mean, I think they're maybe the style. I mean, OC Blues is pretty direct, but Real and LA, they liked to play and keep the ball on the ground. There were obviously teams though in the East that are like that. So I can't really, I don't know, it's too big of a difference.
The sort of generalization is the West is more wide open, the East is more defensive, but I mean,
I think probably that would be pretty true.
Yeah, that's the stereotype.
But with so many new teams in the league, it's all, every team's different. And
exactly.
Especially with the two teams, you know, they're doing whatever the mama club tells them to
do. Oh, yeah, you're going to see a lot more MLS players playing this year with teams that have the two teams.
Yeah.
No question.
Which is always frustrating because it's hard to prepare for that if you don't know which team
who you're going to be playing.
You know, when we were watching that Real game, I was tweeting with one of my friends that's in Idaho who's a Real fan, and he's like, dude, they have like 11 guys on that roster today that are from our
first
main club.
Yeah. Yeah.
He goes, mind you, most of them are bench players, but...
But still, they're training day in, day out with the first team. And
you know, you're getting a different... But I think that's also a testament to how good that the USL clubs are.
Certainly.
That there's not, you know...
They feel the need to bring down their bigger players when they have to or when they can.
Yeah. And
they think it will help them.
Right.
You know, if they didn't think they'd help them, then they'd just have them train. Right. But they're seeing that it helps.
And it also shows that the competition is there, that they don't want to lose. You know, it's not just it's not just a training league for them at that point in time. They're taking it seriously.
Yeah.
One advantage of going out west that Matt's brought up a couple times is the field seemed to be better out west. I mean, so far you've played in a couple of MLS stadiums, so that's good news. But maybe you won't have as many, what was it?
Harrisburg
or, you know,
like Louisville City with four different surfaces.
Yeah, I mean, well, we still have to go there once to play, but
they got the mound and the outfield.
Did you tell Drew already 1 foot is artificial turf shoe, the other foot is regular grass?
He didn't believe me when I was telling him. He's like, there's no
way. He's just shaking his head right now. This is funny. You can see that the pure shock. Watching it from the crowd, you'd see somebody take a run, and then you'd see them physically pull up because they were afraid to hit that running and just slide.
I got to kick it before I get to the artificial turf. Yeah. I'm going to pass it to somebody else to deal with.
You see people looking to either, you know, pull up, pass, or find somebody that's already settled in on the AstroTurf because the change was that radical and different in play.
It's got to be terrible when you're standing back there, because literally 2 feet in another direction, it could be a different field.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, the ball takes different hops, and it's not like normal AstroTurf.
Yeah, it
that's
doesn't
like
have the
putting
pebbling.
Green. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's literally like 1980s
Houston Astrodome turf.
Yes. Yeah. Odium turf.
Odium from Chicago.
It's sandpaper painted green.
And then
you're on beautiful. The grass is then great.
Yeah,
the outfield grass. It's gorgeous.
It's beautiful.
It's manicured.
Yeah.
Honestly, I genuinely think they'd be better if they didn't even put the AstroTurf down and it just went straight to dirt.
Yeah.
Because you at least have that same kind of traction.
Consistency on the ground, too.
Yeah. It's crazy. Just wait.
can't wait.
But to your point, though, it was really nice playing on three nice grass fields.
Yeah.
StubHub was the best field
StubHub
ever. I think I've ever played on by far.
Yeah, that was.
And I mean, I guess you were in the first team locker rooms too, or
I don't.
Or did they
that
stick,
I don't
stick
know.
You in a little shed?
I think we may have been. I think we may have caught the
academy locker
room. I think.
But still, nice digs.
Yeah, for sure.
StubHub in general, that was.
When I walked on the field, I was like, This has to be the nicest field I've ever stepped foot on.
Yeah,
it has to. I don't know how it would get better than that.
Yeah, I don't. It was perfect.
Having a crowd in there probably would help.
That would have been a start.
Well,
you always kind of feel that weird, like, man, there's no one here right now.
Oklahoma was a little better, but your first three games were pretty much behind closed door friendlies.
I mean, yeah,
they were
private games.
And you notice it even more too when they make a big deal about the walkout and the national anthem. And there's no one there.
Yeah,
you know?
Playing the song and everybody's like, "There's no one there." Yeah.
That's what we were. At least I made the point. As we talk about opening up on the road, and, you know, nothing against some of these teams, but just the road crowd, the crowd isn't necessarily the greatest. which doesn't make playing on the road so hard, but it makes playing at home such an awesome advantage.
Yeah.
Because we have all that support.
Well, and we talked about it several times last year. The teams like, and it's usually the two teams. The independent teams, their fans are there because that team's their city. But like Montreal or Toronto last year had some pretty bad crowds. But they would get up when they would come here because it's their first time playing in front of people too, you know.
They're amped.
Yeah, so I hope you're ready, Drew, for the home show.
So fun.
I'm ready. Right. Bring it on.
We'll field's not as nice as StubHub, but we will have more than 10 people there.
Oh, I'm pumped. I've heard it's awesome. I'm stoked for this weekend.
We'll have to have you on afterwards, so then it's the okay first time experience. What was it like having your cherry popped?
Wasn't that great? I didn't enjoy it.
You guys were kind of quiet.
Average. Average.
Rather quiet.
Name
over
a dog after me, and then we're talking.
That's all I want.
Mitch, don't worry about it. I was at Mumford & Sons anyway.
Mitch is skipping the home opener to go to Mumford.
No.
Dude, we ordered these tickets like 8 months ago.
We didn't agree to the podcast knowing that. I'm having a beer.
I was going to say, you're drinking my beer. Shut your mouth.
Don't tell Ellenball. Oh,
we'll tell stories about him drinking my beer. We'll give you plenty to go back with. I think he's got the most caps for appearances. We'll put it that way.
I know, and Petr's jealous. We need to get Petr back on to bump up his numbers.
Well, when I tweeted at you guys last week, I was wondering if, you know, I would get a reaction.
I think
so.
You're the first player who's had two appearances.
I think so. Well, let's see. Was Barks part of that first one where we had three people? No.
No.
No, I'm trying to think. I think he is. I think he's the first.
Patrick's
with two
the
caps.
First. Yeah.
Wow.
Congrats, Pat.
That's a huge accomplishment. Thank
it
you.
Is. It is.
Was it worth coming down from Chicago to get two caps?
That was the reason.
Okay.
No pressure.
Now you can go back up.
Yeah, I'm going to. Cool.
Well, now, if he scores this weekend, he has to come to the corner, right?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
I mean,
definitely.
That's pretty much mandatory.
No question.
Off a free
kick.
Yeah.
If I'm on the field, I'll follow behind him. Look for the dog.
Or you could just do Taka, even if you're on the bench.
Yeah, take the yellow. That was a good memory.
And then thank the referee for
yeah,
it.
He turned around to the ref and said, thank you.
He didn't care.
No, it was great.
Worth every moment.
Yeah.
The first real celebration we had in the corner last year was against Des Moines in the Open Cup. When
Lynch
right, scored, yeah. And you jumped on his back.
Yeah.
And Brittany Von Nieder got that photograph.
Yeah.
That's a great photo.
Yeah.
And, man, that was the first real celebration we had because everyone else had wheeled away towards the main stand to where like, their own families were and stuff.
Let's not pull punches. We weren't exactly scoring a lot then either. I mean, but this season, however.
We scored 5 in 2 games, guys. Does not compute.
Yeah, we didn't score 5 in 5 games last year for a while there, but it's good though. It shows the change in the team. I mean, we're seeing a different makeup, and we're seeing what we want to see. This is good.
And I don't want to ignore you, Drew, but I keep going back to Patrick the comparisons from last year.
It's okay, I'm used to it.
we just invited you so you could drive Patrick.
This is a different team to last year.
Oh, certainly. Yeah. I mean, it was scary because those first 2 games we didn't score. So, you know, it's funny how quickly, even though it all feels so new, when you're out on the field again and the results were similar, it's like, man, how this is shouldn't be this way because it.
Oh, we know.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Well, I know. Yeah.
There was a lot of that. Oh shit.
Yeah. No, I know you guys. You know, you feel it too. But yeah, I remember when I got told I was coming back down. I talked with Dale and. He said, hey, dude, you know, this is, I think you're really going to enjoy this group. We've added some nice pieces, and I think you're seeing that already with, you know, Chad getting big minutes and, you know, being the captain of the team. Talk about an impact. And
he's had some really nice balls, too, that haven't been capitalized on, but we're seeing it's there, you know.
Chad's like a machine when it comes to, you know,
nice balls.
Just, yeah.
No, but you talk about having a feeling, you know, before Ryan Thompson saved that penalty. Chad Bond at that corner against Oklahoma.
Yes.
I felt it then. Like, Chad's going to put a ball in here. It's going to swing him with the wind, and that goalie's not going to know whether it's a corner or not.
Zipped in.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's
And that's the service that we were needing so bad last year that we could. You know, we kept saying, God, if he works out, you know, in the offseason, it's like, if he works out, this is the missing piece. Yeah. And we're already seeing it to where.
That and Barklage, you know, cross your fingers, hope he stays healthy. I mean, he's like a new signing.
Yeah, because yeah, with how limited he played last year.
And when we had him, he still wasn't at 100%. So that could be a huge difference maker up top, too.
And then we got number 22 back.
So that's right.
We weren't planning on that. We wrote you off. We were like, well, he's gone.
I didn't heard from you guys in a while.
No. I mean, and I'm still not counting on you being here all year because I think Chicago's going to give you a call. Because they're awful. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
No, you're not.
No, but I mean, you know.
Take sip of beer.
Oh, you'll be getting a call too.
Actually, I'm getting a call too.
No, it's nice to have you back, but I still think, you know, ultimately you're not our player. I know you're down for the cause while you're here, but your goal is to be there. Same with you, Drew, and you're here to make use of your time. Mm-hmm. And you did that well last year. I think they recognize that. I'm glad you're here rather than up there sitting on the bench, you know, getting some time, getting more minutes, and I expect you to get that call again, you know, but I'll take every minute I can get from either one of you.
Yeah, well, I mean,
and same with you, Drew. The play that you've had so far, you know, you're would you say efficient? No, we're
quietly
enjoying
efficient.
Seeing,
that's why I said it. No. Quietly efficient.
We're enjoying seeing you play, and
I appreciate it.
And that is your goal too. So I'd rather both of you be getting time.
Yeah, no, it's nice because it goes hand in hand. If I'm playing well and the team's playing well, then you know we're helping. It helps out every situation. Yeah. So
now, Drew, I've got to ask you. We asked Patrick on the last podcast he was on. When you get told you're going to St. Louis, do you feel like you're being sent down, or you know, or do you look at it as an opportunity, or how was your mindset when you were told that you were coming to St. Louis?
Don't give us a political bullshit answer either.
Well, okay, yeah. I mean, the immediate reaction is disappointment, right? Mm-hmm. Because your goal is to be there and make an impact, and you know, do the best you can possibly do. But for me, it was a quick turnaround. Especially because all the great stuff I honestly heard from Pat about last year and just the awesome time he had down here. And then, you know, I saw him make the jump back up and do well and be successful. And, yeah, I looked at it as an opportunity 100%. And if you're going to get sent anywhere, I mean, I'm really glad it was here. And I'm stoked to be here.
Driving Pat around.
I'll accept that.
That's the important part.
I'll accept that answer. He gave the legitimate first, no, I was mad, but. Came
well,
to terms
I mean,
with it.
Look, I don't. It's it was a tough situation for me. Having guys like you know Matt Polster and Razvan in front of you just really. I mean, Matt's a young dude and Raz is really experienced, and you know everyone's been playing well. The team's made a pretty good turnaround, so I can't look at my game right now and necessarily say I deserve to be getting time and stuff like that. You know, I'm at the point where I'm learning right now, and I'm learning how to be a pro and come and bring it every day to training.
What's your opinion on, like I said, either would you rather be down here getting playing time or would you rather be
100%.
Up there sitting the bench?
Yeah, 100%.
You want to be playing.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's kind of what I would think as a player. I would want to play because then at least people are looking at you. The coaches back, I'm sure, are watching everything and in constant contact with.
Yeah, I mean, well, just look at last year. There was two guys that pretty much were here the longest, and that was Alec. Can and myself. Alec is currently in MLS with Sporting KC, and you know I got my option picked up, and I credit that completely to being down here and getting games where there's a lot of guys, and there's nothing against them, but there was just a lot of guys on the you know the Fire last year that weren't necessarily getting regular minutes there and weren't here, and then when decision time came,
caught in the middle.
Yeah, it's just kind of, well, we haven't seen, and that doesn't, of course, being here doesn't guarantee that you're going to get your option
right.
picked up.
But you made the best of it while you were down here.
Exactly.
Well, let's not kid ourselves. I mean, you brought it every game to the point where you couldn't be ignored.
Right? Yeah, and that's what's so great because it's an opportunity, and that's all you can ask for.
And I think our arrangement's a little different than some teams. Some teams basically say, I'm going to send you player X, and you're going to play him.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of have to earn your spot here, and that, and that's, I mean, again, we talk about different players and how they react to pressure. You know, whether it's Mark Pace when he knows that Ryan Thompson is being called in, or Mark Pace last year when he's sharing time with Alec Can, he thrived on that. Sam Fink's another guy that we brought in, A.J. Cochran. It'd be easy to put your head down and think, well, there goes my spot, but he keeps fighting. So, I mean, I think that tells a lot to a coach, to a GM, to a scout. That's the kind of guy that I want in my squad.
Well, and players like us, we want that environment. You know what I mean? Right. Because it's like, if I can't work to win a spot here, how am I ever going to do it with the Fire? You know what I mean?
But admit, you've all had teammates who put their head down and just blow any opportunity they had because it didn't go their way.
Absolutely.
Or, you know.
Yeah, I mean, there's, at this point, with whether it's USL or MLS, there's, that's what I was telling Drew, I now hate the draft. The draft, like, coming out of college was so cool, and then, I mean, you can't, everywhere you turn, there's going to be guys coming and, you know, competing for your spot.
It's getting better and better every year.
Yeah, and that's not going to go away, so.
Well, and we can even talk about a guy like Kingsley, who was with St. Louis for a bit last year, drafted by Chicago. Still think he's a really talented young man, but he was drafted, but look where he is now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's still got to fight. He's still got to work, and I don't know if he's picked up by anybody now, but, you know, the draft really doesn't mean
it's just
what
a,
it used to mean.
To, yeah, it's just a chance.
Yeah.
Look at Tyler David. Tyler was drafted by the Whitecaps this year, spent 3 weeks there, and they released him.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, he was drafted, and they already had – I mean, he knew going into it that he was kind of screwed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And how, I mean, wouldn't he rather find his own way through a USL team on his own, I'd think, instead of having that kind of amp up and disappointment and, you know, turmoil? I think it'd be easier just to say, hey, let's go here, here, and here, get a tryout and see what I can do.
Yeah.
I would think that'd be better off than, oh, you know, here's a celebration. No, we really don't need you. Sorry.
Just to do a little business, you both were homegrown signed with Chicago,
they were,
right?
Yes.
So you came up through the Chicago system. So to me, that's a little bit more organic than just, you know, you went to Wisconsin College and you get drafted by the Whitecaps or something. That doesn't mean as much to me as you've grown up in a system and mm-hmm. you're progressing through that system.
Right. I mean, they saw us play since we were 14. You know, versus coaches go to the combine, they see a player play for 4 days.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, and you've got a real connection with the club.
Right.
So
right.
When, Patrick, you get your opportunity to start for the Fire, it really means something.
So cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we were getting told since we were 14, you know, hopefully you'll drive to the stadium and, you know, play in a game.
Should we talk about your buddy Harry Shipp?
I love Harry.
Too soon.
I can't believe.
Let's talk about Hunter Jumper instead.
Hunter Jumper.
Well, yeah. No, I mean,
let's not go down that
but
road.
I'm just talking about Harry was the guy that I couldn't believe they didn't keep after. He seems like the prototypical guy that
he
you want
a poster
to
child,
represent the fans
yeah.
and the people, and they all loved him, and they just, I don't know.
Yeah.
New broom came in, swept some things.
He's doing really well, though, up in Montreal.
Good.
Yeah,
good.
Our team's playing well, so.
But I also think, on the flip side of the coin, that with a lot of the MLS guys playing in USL, you know, for a bit, take Greg Cochran. Yeah. Greg Cochran might not have given USL a second look before, but because he's now played here, he got the option to go to San Antonio. He's like, you know what, I'll go there, and I'll play, and it's a good competitive league. So I think the MLS loans have helped give the league credibility in when a player's either released or whatever from MLS, they'll come to USL because they know it's a quality league.
Yeah, I think the partnership with MLS has definitely helped USL. The standard of play has gone up, and just like you said, there's a lot of guys, and A.J. Cochran, for example, waived by his MLS team.
Yeah.
Doesn't hook up right away, knows he can come here. If he does well, eyes are on him, and he'll get another shot. I mean, shit, all of Swope Park Rangers,
roster
is that. I mean,
yeah.
But all of those guys are fighting to move back up. And, the competition is fierce, but that's good for everybody.
And like we said earlier, I mean, there's no bad teams anymore. I mean, the old USL, you could count on a 4-12 team or whatever the case was.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're all dangerous. Yeah.
Yeah, now everybody's legit.
Yeah. I think so.
Okay. Thanks.
Even Charlotte, even though they don't know where they're playing. It's a good team whenever they get there.
Well, they got to wait for the tents to get set up to change in first.
Oh,
no, just teasing.
I'm not.
Yeah, no, they're definite tents.
Yeah.
Do you need to use the restroom? Here's the bucket.
Trailer park, whatever it was. Yeah.
What was that? Which was that? That was Harrisburg, where the trailer park was behind the field.
Yeah, I kept waiting for the ball to like go over the fence and not be able to get it back because some kids out there with the shirt off running away with it. You know?
I'm so happy I was in Chicago for that game. That's all I hear about is that Harrisburg game.
Oh, dude, it's such a shame. It really is.
The grass was that high?
Yeah.
No. It looked like it literally had been that high, and they mowed it the day before,
but didn't have a bagger attached. Like they just left all the trimming.
Like
out
if you
there.
Go to the park in a couple weeks when they've gone through with the big industrial mowers and knocked down 2 foot tall grass, that's what it looked like.
Pretty sure there was a stump out there too.
I thought there was. It looked to me like there was.
There was a stump in the middle.
Oh my god! What? What?
It looked to me like there was.
It looked like there was, but there was legitimately a tree growing up through the stands.
Oh my god. They're not playing there this year, by the way.
Oh, thank God.
They've moved into a baseball stadium.
Oh.
Which is another hallmark of the East.
Yes.
Well, actually, Tulsa's got one.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Tulsa's is
theirs
nice.
Is better, yeah. They don't play over the pitcher's mound. And,
yeah.
And it's owned by the both teams are owned by the same group, so they have an investment in making it better.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The baseball team owns the soccer team, so.
Okay. So they want to
sharing the stadium. You want to make sure your guys are taken care of.
They care if the midfielder loses an ankle on the pitcher's mound. So
Tulsa's is, I mean, that's borderline one of the nicer pitches.
That's what Jacob said.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Chad said it was fine. And
I mean, it's smaller, but the grass is great.
Yeah.
And that's really all
that matters. That's all you want. Yeah, exactly.
So what else we got, Mr. Brad?
We got a whole list of things to talk about, most important of which is this Saturday, the home opener. We've already discussed on-the-field stuff, but there's going to be a big tailgate party, as per usual. Mm-hmm. It's going to be in the back lot, and it's going to start at 5:30. So,
big time.
Big time. I think Eric and Mark are getting there early to grill up some hot dogs and hamburgers.
Going to have some serious food going on, as usual.
Yep, and like always, it will be free, but we ask that if you do partake, you donate. Because it's kind of free, but if we can't get our money back, then it'll no longer be happening. So
since I'm not going to be there, and I have two tickets,
yes,
we're going to put one of those tickets up.
Oh, okay.
For this show.
We're gonna ask a question?
I think we need to ask a question.
All right.
We'll have to come up with something good. We'll ask it at the end, so they have to actually listen to the entire thing.
Good call.
So
that gives you time to think of a question.
Yeah, that too.
The park is ready. People were, you know, wondering if all the improvements and everything's been repaired. Yes, the long road trip that our gentleman here had to go through was partially due to the fact that we had to rebuild everything at Soccer Park. Have you tried out the new turf? Does it meet
it's very nice.
Okay.
Yes.
Better than last year's turf?
Yes.
Okay. So we've got the latest and greatest in turf technology. Still not grass, but okay for turf.
No, it's nice.
It looks better on
it's greener.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't shimmer.
Yeah, shine.
Yeah. Hopefully it won't have that mirror reflection on the
look like
YouTube
the
stream.
Basketball shorts of the 90s, those shimmer sheen.
Ah, the dazzle.
Yeah.
We also want to mention we will have scarf pins for the first 100 people that come up and tell me Mitch does not own a Fitbit. if you weren't on our Oklahoma bus trip, you won't get that joke. But just tell me that Mitch does not own a Fitbit, and you will get
fantastic.
A scarf pin. We also may have some new T-shirts at the tailgate party if they get done in time. So we'll have that, and we'll have the scarves. Both of those are $20. So there.
And we still have bottle openers.
We have bottle openers. We have stickers.
Car stickers.
We have some old T-shirts.
We're doing good.
I'll look in my trunk. There may be some stuff
some random
from a while ago.
My old rag, bottle of oil, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Half-used bottle of motor oil.
There you go.
A couple other things we got coming up. This Thursday will be a special meet and greet. Have they told you guys this? Thursday night? You've got plans.
Didn't know that.
Yep. Fenton.
Dropping the bomb real quick.
Yeah. Not Fenton. It'll be Webster Groves Hotshot. There'll be a meet and greet.
They're under a different contract. They may
well,
not
they may not be required to attend.
That's one of those, Dale, we're going to stick this one.
That's one of those things where Barklage is like, 6:30, 6:35. I'm out of here. Made his appearance. But some of the players will be on hand at Hotshot's Webster Groves just to do a meet and greet with some of the players, and this is for season ticket holders only who claim to be Lulligans.
So if you don't have season tickets, don't show up. We will escort you from the premises.
PK will be showing you to the door.
Actually, I don't think you can legally do that on a private business.
Shut up.
Just saying.
Well, we'll have a velvet rope. We'll have a velvet rope, and you can't come past the velvet rope.
You can't ask a family of four to think. You
know. Oh, you're here for the wings? Tough shit.
Oh, no. More for the event area. If you're in the general seating, go ahead and enjoy your pizza and wings.
But you can't shake hands with Patrick or Drew.
No. If they're there.
If they're there.
No, seriously, no joking. I mean, do you guys have those kind of things where it comes around, like, you know, appearances and stuff like that? Does that balance out the same way contract to contract or not really? Or is it just kind of the goodness of your heart?
While you're here, you do whatever the St. Louis FC players do.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some MLS guys that maybe pull go rank on loan, and they're like, yeah, no way. Yeah. But Drew and I aren't doing that.
Yeah, you're sitting in a basement. Plus,
I like the – yeah, I think they're fun. So, yeah, I'm sure that happens.
I remember last year, like, the team had just started. I mean, it was all new, and, like, we had this – season ticket meet and greets at Mission Taco and Smigala's and stuff, and Mark Pace was like, this is awesome, and all the other new players like, this is great, this is the best, look at, and then Brian Gall, who'd been at the Galaxy 3 years, like, screw this.
Yeah. Well, and it was also true of the guys that were single and young, like straight out of college or a couple years into the pros.
They were getting food. They were
right. Or guys like Ambersley and Barklage that had families, had a kid to go home to. It was like, okay, coach, can I go now? And I don't blame. I mean, that's just the way life is. I mean, I used to be excited about things too, but not so much anymore. I did get excited that Drew was going to be here, though.
Are you serious?
As far as you know. No, I felt bad for giving you some shit on Twitter today.
No, it was good. Good bants. Good banter.
That was good.
Big news. Actual news. Soccer news. You might be forgiven if you don't know this because you probably just followed the team's Facebook page, but the Open Cup draw happened. They didn't put it anywhere on there, but we will be entering the second round.
The look of confusion on the players' faces was great. It's like, really? They didn't cover that?
They did not cover that.
At all.
They retweeted it. I guess that counts.
It wasn't on
What's
Facebook.
What we got?
We are in the second round. We will face the winner of AFC Cleveland versus GPS Portland, Maine.
Yes.
So
two PDL teams or
two PDL teams? Well, was one of them
Cleveland at MPSL?
MPSL.
Okay. So
I used to live up there. I used to go watch them.
And
well, totally different team. I lived there 5 years now. But I want to beat them. Beat them because I know a lot of the fans.
I feel sorry for the Portland, Maine guys. That's a long trip if they have to come out here to lose.
The thing is, though, the Cleveland guys have to go to Maine first.
Yeah.
So if they win in Maine, they then have to turn around, drive straight back to Cleveland to play a game, their home opener, and then get on a bus and come to St. Louis. So they're going to have to go Cleveland, Maine, Maine, Cleveland, Cleveland, St. Louis.
Mm. Well, then that's what we want to happen.
Absolutely.
Let's just
make it difficult. Again, I joke about beating them. There are no givens in the Open Cup.
No, not at all.
Des Moines Menace played us tough last year. Very good team, and I don't know anything about these teams, but, you know, they're going to be playing their hearts out because this is their big shot, too.
Those are tough games.
So
look at the USL MLS games. I mean, same thing.
Well, that's why we first saw Vince last year, was him playing him for
Des Moines. He played for Des Moines.
Yeah.
A nice game.
Yeah, and Des Moines always been a good team.
Yeah.
So
And not only are those kids playing to win, they're also playing like Vince did. Maybe somebody on St. Louis will see me.
Yeah.
And give me a call next year.
I'm actually kind of glad we're not playing Des Moines again.
Oh, they're a tough team. Yeah.
Macko's coaching them now, I believe. Mike Makovich.
He's a great coach. He's from Chicago, yeah.
Jesus, that's going to make him even tougher.
Yeah.
Because the Lions still face him, and that's...
He knows out, Jeremy.
Yeah.
And when the draw was made last year, the guy from Des Moines texted Jeremy and said, don't you be sending Shilly up here scouting. I'm going to be playing a whole different team.
He's awesome.
So Macko.
I love that guy. He was our PDL coach for a couple of years.
Oh, yeah.
For fire. He's a good guy.
And I mean, the Open Cup is everything that's great about soccer.
Oh, it's awesome.
Not only when the teams are coming to you to play, it's their big game, but then we get an opportunity like we did to go to Kansas City, and you guys played in front of 19,000 people.
So fun.
I mean, that's
that was
good
our
game,
final.
Too.
That was our cup final.
Yeah.
But again, playing on a field like whatever it is now, Children's Mercy Park or whatever.
We'll just call it Sporting Park.
Sporting Park.
Because that's all I can.
Is another great field. Like
Stub Hub. That was. That was beautiful.
And 19,000 people, and for it being what you would normally think of an MLS team versus USL team, a lot of hype in that crowd. I mean, both sides. I mean, that was a great atmosphere.
That was one of the top moments of the year, I think. Especially with how well the fans traveled. It was a good game. I mean,
we sure as hell felt so. We took
Fellhaber to Zusi or Zusi yeah. to Fellhaber to
Zusi.
Well, yeah, and that was,
yeah.
was I mean,
Zusi.
They had their guys out there.
Zusi came over and shushed us, yeah. and that was like, you know what?
But going yeah. into go it, ahead. Going yeah. into go ahead. That day, we didn't know what lineup they were going to throw out, and mm-hmm. I remember we were in the parking lot, and I think you grabbed me, and you go, fucking U.S. international team playing
yeah,
us.
And
I was like, oh, shit. Okay, they're not taking this game lightly.
Yeah,
they had all
their guys out there.
I think they had one back that wasn't the normal starter, but it was a position that they had swapped out throughout
yeah.
the year, so it still was.
It was a loaded lineup, yeah. and you guys held them, you know, and you were holding on for dear life. It wasn't like
yeah,
it was an
I mean,
even
it wasn't,
game,
yeah.
but we were right there up until the end, and when the U.S. men's national team. Graham Zusi turns around to shush us.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, we've done our job here.
We had some chance. I mean, I remember I crossed one to Lynch, I think, in the second
Lynch
half.
Made a couple
yes.
late
yeah,
runs
nice
there that were
there.
Almost there. Yeah.
And Ambo had that one chance in the first right in front of us that was,
uh-huh.
it just, I think he hit
yes.
crossbar or
I remember
playing
that.
Just short. Or
and
something.
I really wanted that for him because, you know, he's a local kid and he brought, I forget, Kansas City screwed us on tickets. They only gave us like 200 tickets all together.
Really?
And yeah. I think Ambo took 20 of them.
Yeah.
Because he said, he told Jeremy, this may be my last time to play in a big game, you know, and my whole family's in town. So I really wanted that for him. And
he's a
just
great
didn't
guy.
Work out, but.
Speaking of teams screwing us, I'd like to give a big fuck you to Oklahoma City.
Okay.
Because first off, they give us our seat of tickets, and we think it's Section 7. And we set up in the front because we think it's just kind of general admission. Which
it was pretty empty at that time.
It was pretty empty in the second half.
Yeah.
Well, it's not full punches.
It wasn't full, was it?
No, it was not. But so they say, oh, no. You guys are in 7, but you're way at the top.
Yeah, they made us stand at the very back 4 rows.
Yeah, which, you know, okay, I get it.
Now you're just fucking with us.
Yeah, you know, I like to think that when we host supporting teams, we treat them a little bit better. We're going to give them the other corner. They set up. They've got
the problem
good...
is there's not a bad spot at Soccer Park.
This is true.
So
is
even
true.
If we wanted, maybe we can stick them behind the stands.
Yeah, exactly.
But
they put them out on one of field 3 yeah. or something. But so they make us go stand in the very top rows, which kind of sucks because we want to be there for you guys. You know, that's the whole point is being there and being 20 rows up.
Yeah, I noticed you guys moved higher from the warm up to yeah. the start of the game.
Yeah,
it wasn't by choice.
It wasn't optimum. Yeah.
And then of course where we are. Directly underneath one of the PA speakers.
Oh.
It was.
So every time we would start a chant, there would be rock and jock jams coming out of the speaker right over our heads.
And we're like, okay, I have no idea what's going on here. We can't hear anything. And it's completely, my right ear was ringing at the end of the night because it was so goddamn loud. It was by far.
But you're a trooper. We played through it for you guys.
For
you.
So
guys.
Awesome.
For you.
When you guys walked in.
I was doing it just for Drew.
We're getting there.
Parker and I were passing. And we're like, dude, this is sweet. Yeah. We were seeing the tweets with the bus coming. Yeah. Like, I wonder what the turnout's going to be. And
when you guys walked in, when you guys marched in, that was awesome.
Yeah, that was really
cool. I was looking around. I was like, this is sweet, man. This is freaking cool.
Get used to it. Get yeah. used to it, because this is what we do.
Yeah.
I mean, well,
we could only afford to send one guy to Orange County, but...
Well, he was great.
Yeah. Jeremy figured out we've only had 2 games where we didn't have somebody.
At least one person.
That's incredible.
That's incredible. It was,
I mean,
it was Toronto and...
Montreal. Or
New York or
yeah.
No, what's his
name? No, New York. We had some fans.
So Mario was in New York.
So it was Montreal and Toronto.
That was a rough
think.
Game.
Yeah. Yes, it was.
Both all of New York.
Yeah. But, yeah, we've had somebody at every game except for 2 of them now. But, yeah, so we'll do the second Kansas City game because the first one's...
That'll be a fun one.
That's Sporting Park again.
Yeah, that'll be a fun one.
And some people will make the trip on the first Kansas City game, but it's July 4th
weekend,
so we couldn't do a huge one.
We'll do Louisville.
I'll go because I'm not American.
Yes, you are.
Yeah,
you
are.
You are American now. You're as American
as
it gets.
Not July 4th, I'm not.
I'll
be going there right in a red coat.
Your tattoo says otherwise.
Yeah. You're eating my brisket on 4th of July. You are as American as it gets. We'll do Louisville. We'll do probably try to do Cincinnati.
Yep.
Tulsa we'll try to do.
One of them's
like a Thursday night, isn't it? Or damn. Friday night or something.
Oh, no, so, I'm still looking up prices for flights to go to Sacramento.
I know.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah, that's one I'd like to go.
Yeah, yeah. I know some guys have talked about San Antonio. So I think there's going to be at least a couple people at most games.
If you look on Southwest now, I only know this because I did it this week. If you look on Southwest now, there is return flights to San Antonio for $250 return trip. Fly out the Friday, come back the Sunday. So for that weekend, we're in San Antonio.
Let me know when it hits 100.
I don't know if that's going to happen.
I know.
I thought you were on your phone right there.
Yeah, he's checking it. He's buying a ticket.
Ixnay, wife is upstairs.
He's tweeting at me right now.
Yeah. No, I'm not.
A couple other things. Something big in our lives, barbecue. Sugar Fire 44 here in Fenton, Missouri, named a sandwich after us. So how cool is that?
Just not any old sandwich.
That's big.
No. I mean, that thing is an ambulance.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Well, was it? Mitch actually was able to pick it up when it was on the special the other day.
Yeah, so they every morning, Sugar Fire tweets what their specials are going to be. And it's about 10 o'clock in the morning. And I look every day because I work from home and it's 6 minutes away from the house. So I'm like, you know, one of these days I'm going to go up for lunch and the St. Louis again. And it's Texas toast. It's rib meat. It's bread and butter pickles. It's the St. Louis sweet sauce and a fried onion ring.
And smoked cheese.
Oh, yeah. And the Gouda. How could I forget the Gouda? I love the smoked Gouda cheese.
So that was
which
the
is
St.
melting
Louis
over the meat.
Oh.
It is glorious. As Rachel said, it should come with a defibrillator because it's like a heart attack waiting to happen. I mean, it is. Oh,
I'm so down.
So
I'm good. So down.
It's so good.
I have a feeling that special will return on game days.
Yes. So I went up there for lunch immediately, brought him a scarf, said, hey, we've been trying to get up with you guys. This is awesome. He's like, yeah, you know, this is awesome. We want to have it on game days. We want to have it every so often. I'm like, I'll be here every time it's up. Come home, show my son. He's like, are we having it for dinner? I said, well, you got to talk to mom. Mom says,
you're a goddamn hero, Mitch.
Yeah.
You're a giver.
Every time. So I said, talk to mom. Mom said, yeah, we got to go get it. If it's the Lulligan sandwich, we got to go get it. I had two in one day.
And you still live.
This is a well-oiled machine.
That's a man that does not own a Fitbit.
This is true.
Thanks, Susan.
One of the bus riders laughed when somebody said if my Apple Watch was a Fitbit.
They asked, is that a Fitbit? She just cackled.
Just no answer, just laughed.
Not on that fat bastard. Basically what she said.
Pretty much what she said. So yeah,
she's hateful.
Yeah.
So now not only do we have our own beer with Second Shift Brewligans, we have our own barbecue sandwich at Sugar Fire, and my goal is to have them both at the same meal.
They
don't serve Second Shift there, but
I seriously thought about bringing it home.
Get a to-go order, yeah.
If we could get a concrete from Ted Drew's now.
There we go.
Or like a gooey butter cake from Gooey Louie or something.
Squad goals.
Nice.
The other thing I want to mention is the trivia night. It's coming up. That will be April 23rd, and my friends here will be in Sacramento enjoying 11,000 people at Bonnie Field.
Yeah.
That'll be a special game for us. We will be watching that from the soccer park ballroom if you buy a table to our trivia night.
And there's not many left.
So go to our website for information on that. The trivia night proceeds will go to the Soccer Park Restoration Fund to help pay back the $1 million+ they spent to refurbish everything. And some of that money will also go to our tailgate crew who are building and getting better, bigger and better every year. So they've got a special project they're working on, and they need money to fund that monster.
So chip in when you get your food, go to the trivia night, make this happen.
And after the trivia, we'll all sit down and watch Patrick and Drew live from Sacramento.
Assuming that they're not in Chicago.
That's true. They could be in Chicago.
It's a bye weekend for them, so I think we'll be here.
They probably won't be in Chicago then.
They may be.
Honestly,
send us some more guys down.
Yeah, maybe we can get a few more.
I doubt that. We don't want them. If we're playing like we are right now, we don't want them.
We don't need them. We got our players. All right, I do have a couple questions from Facebook and Twitter for both of you. So if you're ready, here we go. We'll start with one for Drew. Eric Bonita wants to know, what's the difference between MLS and USL when it comes to training? Is there a huge difference, or is it pretty much the same level of work, or what do you think?
I would say generally everyone, as far as like everyone bring it to practice, I mean, it's there. I'd say the only difference is sometimes MLS teams have a bigger staff and they're able to set things up like a little bit quicker.
Yeah.
Or, you know, they just have more men out there, you know, putting stuff together. So, I mean, these guys do a really good job here of putting stuff together for us and running great sessions. So I wouldn't say there's that much of a difference.
Okay. The other side of the card for Patrick. Well, that's kind of the same question. So, okay, Lucas Dykhouse wants to know, what's the difference between USL and MLS?
Just overall?
Yeah, let's just say overall. I mean, maybe let's talk about facilities. Like when you travel to road games, what's the difference?
Yeah, I mean, MLS certainly has, you know, a little bit of a step up there. You know, you show up to a game and...
Travel's probably a little bit better than...
Travel's a little bit better. You know, you fly generally everywhere. Yeah. And, you know, the locker room will have... I think there's, like, a certain amount of things that the locker room has to have ready. Yeah. In terms of, you know, whether it's food or drink or coffee or Red Bull or... I don't know
rookie's
what the
name
list is.
Drew.
Yeah, rookie's name Drew. So that's expected. I mean, little stuff like that, it tends to be a difference.
You're being treated a little nicer. You've made it to the show for that week.
A little bit more, yeah.
All right, Kevin Harris, this one's kind of for both of you. Kevin Harris is a... I don't know how he became connected with us, but he lives in Chicago. He wants to know that next time there's a U.S. men's national team and you guys are in Chicago, will you hook up with AO Chicago, come to a watch party or something?
Yeah, definitely.
They kind of looked at each other first, but then they said maybe.
I looked at Pat and I gave him the nod, and I think Pat kind of misinterpreted that.
Yes, no.
I'm down, man.
Yeah,
if
we're invited, then we'll probably show up.
All right, there you go, Kevin.
Birthday parties, bar mitzvah.
If they offer you Malort, do not drink it.
Yeah, yeah. Drink that shit.
Oh yeah, he did mention something about Malort. I don't know.
Don't drink it.
But they're from Chicago. They probably are into the Malort thing. Do you?
No.
Okay.
No.
I did get a question asked on Twitter what their favorite Chicago breweries were.
Oh, that's okay. Well, what's that?
My favorite beer in general is 312.
Okay.
Yep, that's what I was going to say.
It's pretty popular.
Owned by Anheuser-Busch.
Well, but they were
Chicago, yeah. So that's actually accurate.
Is that accurate?
A Chicago beer coming to St. Louis just like that?
Yeah, there you go. This one's for Patrick. Rich Herringhouse. I don't know. I wrote these so I could fit them all on the card. Now I can't read them. He wants to know, does anybody have a better left leg than you? I'm a little partial. I'm going to say Brad Davis.
Brad Davis has a pretty nasty left
leg. Yeah, but other than Brad Davis, is there anybody else that you've run across that has a better left leg than you?
Yeah, of course. I mean, look at the OC Blues guy. He had a pretty nice left foot.
He didn't score off a free kick this week, did he?
He didn't. No. I appreciate that question, though. That was cool.
We do have another question from Twitter here. Okay. It's from a Patrick D, and it asks, Drew, why is your taste in music so bad?
Are you kidding me?
Is it a friend of his?
No, dude.
Oh, Patrick
Duty.
Duty. Oh, okay, gotcha.
That he had some bad choices in music. Yes. So you.
Now that one time I did ask Brandon Barklage a question, he goes, "That's my father-in-law." Like he is. Derek Gottman wants to know. This is for Drew. How often do, and I guess it could go for Patrick too, how often do the Fire coaches or somebody from the office give you a call, check in with you, or is it mostly they talk to, you know, Dale or Jeremy? Or
right. I'd say they reach out to us like maybe 2 to 3 times a week. I mean, I know Pat and I were both on the phone with the head scout today, called both of us. So Pono likes to reach out to us before and after games, which is nice.
Yeah.
You know, just knowing that they're watching and keeping tabs on us is a good feeling for sure.
And do they give you notes like, I watched the game and here's, you know, what I thought? Or is it just more of a, hey, just letting you know they're watching?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if, you know, they're watching, you know, every single minute of every game, but I know they're getting all the stats and they're getting everything in, and I know they're discussing it, which is cool.
So it's not like they've just left you down here alone in the dark.
Right.
They talk to you.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's more interactive than it was last year, which is nice.
It is. Yeah. It's almost like a new experience for you too.
It totally is. Yeah.
This one's for Patrick. This is Spencer Hippler. Just wanted to know, kind of, we asked Drew earlier, what were your thoughts? I mean, this is the second time you've been told you're going back to St. Louis. Obviously, you finished the year well with Chicago, but they did bring in a whole new staff, general manager, coaches. Did you expect you were going to stay up this year, or were you still not sure what was going to happen?
My goal for the year, you know, because last year ended so well, I was like, hey, man, I want to be a starting left back for this team, you know, this year. So I think the news was a little bit different to take than it was last year, because last year when I got told I was coming here, I was kind of relieved, and I was like, I need this for my play. I'm excited for it. And this year I took it a little differently, but at the same time, like you said, in a good and bad way, I got brought back to this team, but it was completely different people running it, which is fine. That's sports.
Also, this time you kind of knew what you were coming back to in St. Louis.
There's a lot of positives to it, and like we've kind of been discussing, you know, like I found out last year, anything can really happen at any time, and I already came down once and then was back up within a weekend. So,
What game were you back for?
Yeah, I came back for the Oklahoma City scrimmage.
It was like, it was right after they announced, and I said something to Jeremy. I was like, is Patrick playing today? He's like, oh, he's already gone. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, let's see. The next question is from Dave. This is a good one for you, Drew. Wisconsin player. Had some success up there. What was the jump like from college to pro? Now, I know you've been in the Fire system, so it's not totally new to you, but going from college to pro, we always hear about the speed.
Right.
What's the biggest thing?
I would say the attention to detail in training is probably the biggest thing. Like, when you're in college, you know, and you show up every day before class and they're running a passing line, or like a short, long passing line. A lot of guys tend to go through the motions, but obviously in the MLS.
Especially when you're a senior.
Oh, 100%. I mean,
you went from big man on campus to the real world real quick.
Yeah, I went from big man on campus to the Luligans just shitting on me on Twitter.
That's how you know you've made it.
A lot of people want to be in that position.
Yeah. Hey, you could be in Louisville.
this is true.
Then you'd
this
have to do true. 17 podcasts with all their support groups.
This is true. But, I'd say the attention to detail. And I'd say just everyone's so much mentally stronger, man. It's something that Pat and I were talking about the other day. And pro sports in general, man, these guys are all just super mentally tough. The ups and downs that we go through, it's insane. And sometimes you can be a little bit of an emotional wreck. So I'd say, you know, these guys all got a good head on their shoulders, and they try and, you know, not go too high or too low.
This one's for you, Patrick. Claude, our buddy Claude Carricker, wants to know, did you, after Saturday night's free kick, stop and buy a lottery ticket before you got back on the road?
I should have.
There's always someone from out of state that wins it as well, isn't it?
That's true. That's true.
Boy, that'd really piss off Oklahoma. Took a free kick and their lottery.
That would have been brilliant. I wish you would have tweeted me that. That's a great idea. No, but no, I did not.
Okay.
Now, did you come back that night?
Yeah, we got on the bus right after. We got in at like 5:30.
That was a rough one.
Did you guys bus in or you fly?
I bused.
Oh, so you guys were right behind us.
Yeah, we were taking on the road together.
I bet your bus driver was faster than ours.
Well, and I bet they didn't have one
guy.
They
got less weight on the bus.
That's true.
That is true.
Our back axle was dragging me and Mitch in the back.
Because I'm so fat, Susan.
That's right. I'm going to get you a Fitbit for Christmas.
I get an Apple Watch. I'm okay.
Okay, this one's from Julia. This is for you, Drew, specifically. Are you ready for the home opening atmosphere.
I told you guys I'm so pumped. I mean, pumped.
I'm not sure. Oklahoma does a good job. That was a decent-sized crowd, but I can guarantee you we'll have more fans than L.A., Orange County, and Real Salt Lake had all combined.
Yeah. I mean, OKC was – that was sweet.
Yeah.
And I was talking to Parker, and all Parker said was, dude, it's just louder in St. Louis.
Well, and – to OKC's credit, they had 6,000 people there, but they were spread out more.
Right.
I mean, ours is full. So 5,000 with no empty spots in the stadium makes a big difference, I think.
Were you at our AGM?
At ITAP?
Our meeting at ITAP?
Where they squeezed everybody in there?
No, I wasn't there.
I don't think he was here yet.
No, I didn't think so either.
Because it's like, that doesn't even really give you a good idea. But there was like 200, 300 people in ITAP. Just jam-packed.
Awesome.
There was no room to move and chanting and yelling and singing. Awesome. And
I don't think any players got groped too much either.
Well, I did some groping.
Yeah, well, you, but yeah. That's understood.
Look at Patty's cute.
I know. Last question. This one's from Mike McHugh. Mike McHugh is a huge Chicago Fire fan.
Really? Guy. I hadn't heard.
Yeah. He said, you know, him and a few other people made some trips to Chicago, and especially at the end of last year. Did that mean something to you just because, I mean, you're there, there's fans for Chicago, but the Luligans know you, and they were cheering for you. Does that mean a little something extra to you when you're out there on the field?
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, I know Mike pretty well at this point, and, you know, when they, I think a lot of them showed up to our last game against Red Bull, and I was like, this is so cool that, you know, these people are, you know, coming to watch the Fire, of course, but they're also making it a point to, you know, contact me before and then see me after. It really is it's a special thing that it's a special connection between the players and the fans here.
And that's the, one of the things that, and I think, you know, I mentioned it earlier, I think that is part of Chicago's idea in partnering with us to get some people, because like I said, I wouldn't normally be a Chicago Fire fan. I mean, we don't have to get into the whole Blues Blackhawks thing, guys.
Good luck. Good luck.
You guys love sports.
We nearly had the podcast on Wednesday, so you couldn't watch it.
Yeah. But, I mean, just being a St. Louis guy, I'm conditioned now I'm not going to be a Chicago anything fan, mm-hmm. which when it came to MLS, it's like, well, even though Chicago is a close team, I can't be their fan. But I am watching Chicago Fire games when you guys are involved. And, you know, I told you last year I'm looking forward to buying a Chicago Fire Patrick Doty jersey and now a Drew Connor jersey. You've cost me so much money. But you know what I mean? It's kind of when you have a personal connection to a player, you follow that guy, and we'll follow you guys wherever you bounce around. I mean, Alec Cann, I'm going to be watching to see if he's getting some time in sporting Kansas City.
Brian Gall scored on Saturday.
Brian Gall scored in the German third division, is it?
Whatever it is, yeah.
I mean,
I can't even pronounce the team name.
But I mean, that's the kind of thing. It's like, okay, I know these guys. These guys were our players, and I think it's great that, you know, you've made some connections there, and both, and you will get it too, Drew. I don't know if you get your own crew. I don't know if you'll get a bitch.
This is bullshit.
We'll try. We'll see what we can do.
Just have a good first game.
Yeah, that'll help. But seriously, wherever you go from now on, there will be guys who, like me, who like, oh, let me check the Chicago Fire stats, or let me, you know, I've got 3 minutes to kill. I'm going to watch the end of this Chicago Fire game just to see if Patrick's playing. So, I think that's kind of cool, and I'm glad that you guys appreciate it, too.
Yeah, talking to players that left us, what happened to – how's Brian doing? Brian Cicholka?
B?
Yeah.
Yeah, B's my pretty much my best friend. Uh-huh. I've known him my whole life. He's doing really well. He's back in Chicago right now, and he's doing good.
Just let us know we were asking after him, and we kind of miss him. He's a good guy.
Great guy.
Loved him and his parents.
In the corner.
Mr. Mrs. C.
They were always in the corner. I mean, that's right in the middle
family.
Of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And just Brian was one of those guys that I immediately, like, took to. I mean, because he's a fighter. Yeah,
just work right.
Scrapper.
Big character guy. He's awesome. He's a really good player, too.
Best moment of the year for me last year was against Minnesota when he dipped under... what's his name? The guy that plays for the U.S. National
Team.
Oh, Ibarra.
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 Yeah. Ibarra was kind of posting up, and he's a short guy, and all of a sudden, she shook, like, dipped under his arm, and he was bodying him, and he was like, what the hell? You know? So he's not used to a little guy getting underneath him, so I always liked watching Brian play.
Yeah.
That's good.
But yeah, his parents were always great in the stands.
His dad was awesome.
Yeah.
I think
his dad, you want to know what his dad thinks? Just ask him. He will tell you.
Doesn't take much.
But I love it.
Yeah. Let's see what else.
That's all the questions I have.
We got a lot. I mean, I'm not used to having all these questions. People don't really care that much.
Out of the four games so far, which one was the toughest?
It's easy to say LA, but LA was really just a couple of bad moments.
But the thing is, though, right? It looked bad. I thought the performance looked bad, but we didn't really drop points because not many teams are going to go to LA and get points.
No. And you're going to have a game like that every once in a while where things just stack up against you.
That was just. It was one thing to give up the goals, but it was just another thing because we just had zero. We weren't giving ourselves an opportunity. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We just had nothing.
Yeah.
So I would say that was probably the longest night.
RSL hurt, though, because you were so close.
Yeah. And even the other night, that was tough, just with the wind.
The Energy's a tough team. That's kind of where I was going, but we're hanging in there with tough teams.
Yeah, I mean, I really think what this is going to do for us going forward, knowing that we've got through these four games, you know, we got 4 points, we probably could have gotten five.
That is the longest road trip we'll have all season, I think.
Yeah, so to get that done with now, I think it's going to really, you know, prove to help us.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday.
Nice. Saturday is going to be it's going to be awesome.
Why do you say that and then look at me? You just want to, you want me to call the dog down here so you can kick her while you're at it?
Well, I mean, I have a Fitbit and I'm going on Saturday.
Wow.
I don't have a Fitbit. Look at me. But I am going to have fun on Saturday without you.
Yeah, you are.
Bird, you going to be there?
I will wait for you.
Patrick, you going to be there on Saturday, Patrick?
As of now, yes.
Drew? Drew, you going to be there?
Okay. Yes.
I think it's a full... not you. But the four of us are going to have an awesome time on Saturday.
Really looking forward to it.
Fuck yourself.
Coldplay with bandos.
Hey, if the night goes well, maybe I'll end it that way.
Actually, that's exactly the way your night will end.
I got nothing else. You got anything else?
I don't think so. I think we covered a lot of ground.
Trivia question.
For a free ticket, answer on Twitter, #.
What college did Drew go to?
If they listen to the podcast, that's an easy one.
That's too easy.
Yeah. And if they type into Wikipedia, it's even easier.
That's true. Well, see, that's the idea, is that they had to listen to the podcast.
Well, yeah, they just listening to the podcast should qualify them for something.
So, what was the favorite beer?
That's a good one.
Yeah, there we go.
I like that
there
one.
We go. Patrick and Drew's favorite beer.
There we go. That's accurate because it's beer related. We like our beer.
Yes. And they had to listen to the podcast to know that one.
Yeah, that's well done.
Yep. So, if you need a ticket for Saturday, tweet or Facebook us with the answer to that question.
Yes.
And I'll let Brad handle that because... Fuck all y'all.
And you won't be there.
I know.
And if you want a free scarf pin for 2016, come up to me at the tailgate and say, Mitch don't have a Fitbit.
That's right. Last year it was, who the hell are you?
Last year it was, who the hell are you? Now it's, Mitch don't have a Fitbit.
Wow. Love you too, Brad.
I'm out of beer, so I think it's time to call it.
All right, then. Well.
Patrick and Drew, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us. And that was awesome.
One thing that we've talked about, we didn't talk about, we're going to go to weekly.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't mention that.
We're going to start doing the podcast on a weekly basis. We already do it weekly, but we're going to do it every week.
As in not strongly.
We're going to do it every 7 days as well.
Yes. Some people have asked.
For the season.
During the season, we're going to try our best. If we fail, it's because I'm lazy. But we're
going
to try.
That's exactly why we're going to fail.
But we are going to try. So we're going to be on here next Monday talking about
a great home victory.
Unless we've got a bye week, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and it might be times when it's not all three of us, but we're going to try our best.
Chances are I'll probably be on.
You will always be on because you have the magic box.
Yes. Is that a sex thing or is that...
We both got a text at the same time, and I was like, is Jeremy texting to say something?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking, too, as well.
Whatever you do, don't talk about beer.
Yeah. Make sure that Drew isn't drinking. He's underage.
Well.
No one listens to this anyway. We're fine.
Except for Myanmar. We're real big in Myanmar lately.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't get that, but okay.
All right. So that's all we have.
See ya.
Bye.